The title of my sermon today is simply entitled, Where is Enoch? Where is Enoch? Is Enoch really alive and in heaven as so many in the mainstream Christianity teach and believe? Well, yes and no, depending on who you talk to and what they believe. However, if it can be proven that Enoch is alive and in heaven according to your Bible teaches, then that is another story. It would be great if more people would just take Christ at his word and reason out of the scriptures to see if all the verses line and match up with what has been taught on a certain topic. When Jesus Christ was explaining to Nicodemus what it really truly means to be born again, he mentioned an important fact about heaven. John chapter 3 and verses 13. That's John chapter 3 and verses 13. A verse that I'm sure that we're all familiar with. No one has ascended to heaven but he who came down from heaven, that is, the Son of Man who is in heaven. No one, according to Christ, that also includes Enoch. That includes your great-great-grandmother Agnes and your great-great-grandfather Junebug. I actually knew a friend whose father's name was Junebug. I thought I'd throw that in there. Or any else, for that matter, no matter how good of a life that they have lived. Another verse that we can use to fact check and study this topic comes from Hebrews chapter 9 and verses 27. That's Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 27. Another verse that I'm sure we're all familiar with. And as it is appointed for men to die once. Even Jesus Christ, the Son of God, who tabernacled here in the flesh and was sinless, he saw death. And in doing so, he shared in this appointment that we all will eventually have unless you are part of those who, that last few who remain alive at his coming and caught up with the rest of the resurrected saints. Now, verses like John 3 and 11 and Hebrews 9 and 27, along with many others that we could go to and offer and provide that we might set some type of boundary, an outer perimeter that we shouldn't cross, a safe boundary limit. This will help us and all of those who seek truth to stay within the context of what is really being studied and examined. Because when a person only reads part of a text or uses only one scripture to create a doctrine, then that individual may find themselves in a state of confusion and they may not even know it. You know, I've heard many ministers say that a deceived person doesn't know that they are deceived. And that's a true statement that I personally agree with. Now, if we trust, believe, and consider what Jesus Christ said and when he said that no one has ascended to heaven but he that came down from heaven, then his words must be factored in into whatever we've been told, whatever we think we believe, or whatever we want to believe, or even came across scripture and read without understanding. Remember, brethren, precept upon precept, line upon line, here a little and there a little. After all, Jesus Christ is a representative from heaven. So if anyone would know if Enoch was alive and residing in heaven, or anyone else from that matter, then certainly Jesus would have had this information. There are still many who still hold to the belief that Enoch is not dead and who wholeheartedly believe that he is in heaven. So today I thought I would address this issue and see what our Bibles have to say about this topic. So brethren, if you would, please follow me over to Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 5. That's Hebrews chapter 11 and verses 5. But the reason why I looked at this verse is because this is one of the primary verses that people use to teach that Enoch is in heaven, that he's still alive, along with Genesis 5 and 24. I'll be reading this from the KJV. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found. Because God had translated him before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Notice this verse does not say that Enoch was transformed from physical to immortal and then carried off to heaven. So what is this verse implying? Now we must apply what Jesus Christ said in John 3 and 13, and take Hebrews 9 and verse 27 into account, and use these two verses as our safety net, our boundary. At the very least, most of those who approach this topic without a preconceived, dogmatic view can humbly rule out heaven as a possibility or location of Enoch, based solely on what Jesus Christ said. At the very least, I don't know would be sufficient. Let's examine this verse in further detail. By faith, Enoch was translated that he should not see death and was not found because God had translated him. Before his translation, he had this testimony that he pleased God. Let's take a look at this word translated and see what this means for a moment. I don't want to butcher this word, but according to Strong's Concordance, this word translated in the Greek is metatahami. Okay, thank you. And it means to transfer, to transport, exchange, to carry over, to change and remove. Now, another thing we can do to get a better understanding to see if and how this word is used is look where it is found in other passages of Scripture. Now, if we turn over to the book of Acts chapter 7, we'll find this same word, metatahami, used in regards to Jacob and the other patriarchs. Acts chapter 7, verses 15 and 16. That's Acts chapter 7, verses 15 through 16. So Jacob, one of those listed among these heroes of faith, he went down into Egypt and he died. He and our fathers. And they were metatahimi, transferred, carried over into Shechem, and laid in the tomb that Abraham bought. So we see here that the bodies of the patriarchs were removed, taken, and just simply transported to a different location. The next part of Hebrews 11 and 5 says that he should not see death, that he should not see death. Now we need to remember one thing about setting our boundary. And we use these scriptures of Hebrews 9, and 27, and what Jesus Christ said. And it is appointed for men to die once. And it is appointed for men to die once. So what can we deduce from this particular phrase, that he should not see death? Well, this is easy. Enoch is no longer living. Genesis chapter 5 and verse 23 says, all the days of Enoch were 365 years, which it's considerably shorter than any other individual, if I'm not mistaken, listed in Genesis chapter 5. So we can conclude that at some point, God translated Enoch to another unknown geographical location, not heaven, to live out his remaining days. You know, the Bible doesn't give the exact details of what God translated Enoch from, only that he was translated. You know, there is speculation that Enoch was taken from a violent society, Genesis 6 and 13, where he would have likely been killed, or that God spared him from witnessing the coming destruction of the flood on mankind. Or another one that I heard this morning. Perhaps God took Enoch because he owed back taxes and the IRS was looking for him. No, I'm kidding. Just making sure you're awake. The only thing that we do know is that God had his reasons. You know, I often consider Isaiah 57 and verses 1. The righteous perishes and no man takes it to heart. Merciful men are taken away while no one considers that the righteous is taken away from evil. Whatever the case, the writer of Hebrews goes on to state in Hebrews 11 and 13, these all died in faith, not having received the promises. And even at the end of the faith chapter, the writer of Hebrews repeat the same thing again in verses 39. And these all, who are these all referring to, brethren? Well, Abel, Noah, Sarah, along with the others listed in the faith chapter, including Enoch, these all obtained a good report through faith and received not the promise. Here again, brethren, not one of these faithful brethren has received the promise of immortality. Verse 40, God having provided something better thing for us. What is this something better that God has provided for you and our brethren? Well, the remainder of this verse gives us answer too. That they, the heroes of faith, without us should not be made perfect. Brethren, we shall all be changed in a moment in the twinkling of an eye at the last trumpet. We have God's inspired word that reveals that Enoch will not be made incorruptible before the rest of the first fruits, but together at the last trumpet. This is when Enoch, this is when you and I and the rest of the fresh first fruits will bear the image of the heavenly man. For as Adam all die, even so in Christ all shall be made alive. Finally, let's take a look at the remaining part of Hebrews 9 and 11. And Enoch was not found because God had translated him. Now, this simply means what it says, brethren. Enoch was not found. We don't have to add to, we don't have to take from what is written here. Approach this thing as a little child, humbly. Enoch was not found, but do you know who was not the only servant of God who was not found? Moses, at least the precise burial spot, has never been found and is still unknown to this day. And it's that way because God chose it that way. I truly believe if the world knew the exact location of where Moses was buried in Enoch, I believe there are some religious sects out there who may have or intend to build a religious shrine of some sort out of their tomb by now. And based upon what we read in scripture, not going outside of our set boundary, which is Christ's firsthand testimony, we can conclude that Enoch is dead and that he is buried. Now, brethren, real quickly, I want to look into this phrase before I go, should not see death, spoken in relation to Enoch. The foreshadowing or the gracious act of not seeing death is not just applied to Enoch alone, but it's also applied to each and every one of us in this room and all of the first fruits. And we can see this used in conjunction with our faithful belief in Christ, because Jesus Christ, he indeed spoke of a death that the true believer might evade. Over in John chapter 11, verses 26, it says, "And whosoever liveth and believeth in me shall never die. Believest thou this?" Also, John chapter 8 and verses 51. "Verily, verily, I say unto you, if a man keep my saying, he shall never die." See death, I'm sorry. If we believe and have faith like Enoch's, brethren, we too will never see death. However, this death is specifically talking about the second death. And when we remain within the confines, when we remain within the framework of the inspired word of God, we can without a doubt prove Jesus Christ's promises of never dying is referring to another death, not the first death, because it is appointed to man once to die. So this must be referring to the second death. In closing, brethren and sisters, just as Abraham, Sarah, Rahab, and those who were stoned and sawn asunder, they never received the promise, neither did Enoch. And we know that by faith, Enoch was removed and that he was translated from the conditions surrounding him. We also know that God calls those things which do not exist as though they did. And we trust that the words that go forth from the mouth of God will not return to him void, because that's what he says. So all we have to do is faithfully persevere to the end, like our friend Mr. Kirk Kester talked about in his message last week. And we too will not see death, because God has translated us already. Colossians chapter 1 and verses 12. This speaks about this better than I can ever speak about it. "Giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath metatahami, translated, carried, transported us into the kingdom of his dear Son." Now, I apologize, brethren. I'm sorry I didn't get around to Elijah today, but perhaps we'll present our argument on his whereabouts next time if the Lord's will. Until then, brethren, have an incredible and enjoyable remaining for the rest of your Sabbath.